Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. As always, our commitment is to deliver urologists and allied health professionals timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty. Our exclusive interviews bring expert analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives to help our listeners practice more efficiently. I'm your host and associate editor, Hannah Clark. I'm joined today by Dr. Adam Murphy, who will be discussing the need to increase diversity in clinical trials, specifically highlighting a recent Northwestern-led course on this topic.
Hi, I'm Adam Murphy. I'm a urologist at Northwestern University and Northwestern Medicine. I'm also a prostate cancer disparities researcher.
All right, well, we are happy to have you here today, Dr. Murphy. I want to start out by touching on the course that you led at Northwestern titled Enhancing Recruitment of Ethnic Minorities in Cancer Clinical Trials. So could you first just kind of lay the groundwork for this and discuss the need and the importance of increasing diversity in clinical trials?
So the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has long recommended that clinical trials for drugs that they approve need to be representative of the United States population. And so there's been a national push from the federal government, from the FDA, and from lots of other bodies that kind of are regulating research to improve the minority accrual into trials. And cancer clinical trials is also key to that initiative. And so essentially, our cancer center asked me to help us bolster enrollment of Black and Hispanic patients into clinical trials, cancer clinical trials, and preferably intervention and therapeutic trials. And so what we decided to do was do a seminar slash webinar, a recorded seminar, where we invited research coordinators, research nurses, and physicians who recruit patients into clinical trials to come and learn from some of the experiences we've had. So for background, I recruit probably 40 to 100% minority enrollment into my trials and studies because I focus on Black and Hispanic men's kind of disparities in prostate cancer. I'm pretty good at it now. And working at Cook County and University of Illinois at Chicago as a research fellow, and Jesse Brown VA as a urologist and researcher, along with Northwestern, I feel like I've learned some tips and tricks on how to do that better. But more importantly, I have trained research coordinators who've also learned on the job how to do that better than average. And so we did a three-section presentation that was 90 minutes on Friday, February 16th. Over the lunch hour, where I spent 30 minutes kind of talking about how I think medical mistrust is really related to information asymmetry between doctors and patients. Doctors always know more than their patients, almost always, on their disease. But that difference is highlighted because of information asymmetry being even more dramatic in minorities. But whether that be because of language barrier or cultural competence, or just historic medical mistrust, I think that minorities tend to have lower health literacy and going into these trial accrual discussions. And so really making it, unfortunately, the providers and research coordinators and nurses' responsibility to make up some of that gap in education so that they have better health literacy to make an informed decision. I think that reduces medical mistrust because you are really getting rid of the buyer beware feeling that people have when you are being sold something without a lot of information about it. And so that was the first part. The second part was really coordinators giving their tips around retention of and recruitment of Black and Hispanic patients into trials and how they've had to use social needs kind of navigation for people who had transportation issues or language barriers, also educational deficiencies where they don't know enough about their own disease to make a decision. So we did a 30-minute part, 40 minutes dedicated to the coordinators answering those kinds of questions. And then the last part was the audience making comments to improve the discussion, add their own highlights, or asking questions on our best practices from me and the coordinator. So it was, to me, it was a really well, it was more people than I expected to show up. 52 had registered, 75% showed up. It was a pretty full auditorium. I think it was really good feedback and audience participation. And at the end of it, we had, lots of people lined up to ask more questions and continue the conversation. And they wanted more sessions in the future.
That's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you touching on all of that. And could you highlight maybe some of the key takeaways from the session or some of the strategies that were discussed to improve recruitment and retention?
Okay, so a couple of highlights. One was make sure that you ask all the patients and not assume that they can't do it because of the difficulties in their lives, whether they be they live far away, they're poorer, they are not as educated. Still have to make the ask to enroll them, because sometimes we assume that they can't do it when in fact they will leverage some other resources to do so. Two, try and address some of the social needs up front through a survey. So you can use a social needs survey or just ask, are you having problems with food insecurity, paying utilities, childcare, transportation, drug costs, financial toxicity? And based off of their answers, we can upfront deploy navigators, social workers to help kind of bridge some of that gap. So one, make the ask. Two, if there's some hesitancy, figure out what the hesitancy is. If there's a social needs hesitancy that we can fill it. If it's an educational issue, they're fearful, they don't understand, they need more time, try to provide that time by delaying the decision, so that they can, one, get some education from the person who's trying to recruit them. Two, allowing the research coordinator to do more education after they leave that room. And three, bringing them back for a second visit or a telehealth visit to get enrolled at that time, so they've had time to process, learn more, maybe get support from their family members or friends, or the internet, and then come back with an informed decision. There's also, so those are the biggest takeaways. I think the big other one that I would say is translating all study materials into Spanish upfront, not just using a short form. Because again, it's a little bit like the buyer beware information asymmetry. You're having them sign a consent form in a different language, really. Because the short versions are not really the same as what they are being read from. So I think they should also be able to read this and go home with this and talk about it with their family members and really digest it. So translating the documents is a big part of it, including the study brochures and any kind of recruitment materials and questionnaires. And it's not just Spanish, whatever minority population it is, if it's Polish, Greek, Chinese, whatever is your local minority population that's, probably over 5% of your patients, you probably should translate those documents for them.
Yeah, those are all good points to make. And then what are some other things that researchers should think about when they're enrolling clinical trials, such as building trust, fostering opening communication, things like that?
The skepticism that people have that's reported in the literature doesn't stop people from trusting their individual physicians. So medical mistrust and research mistrust exists, but it can be overcome by the trust in the individual physician and sometimes the individual research coordinator or research nurse. And so I think understanding that skepticism, that hesitancy is out there is worth acknowledging, but not worth being discouraged from not asking people to participate in trials. When asked about willingness to participate in prostate cancer trials, 80% of whites said they were willing to discuss prostate cancer clinical trials with their providers. 64% of African Americans were willing to discuss. So while that's small or lesser number, it's not an insignificant number of people who are willing already to discuss it. But that only about 7% of people actually are approached about trials. So it really the problem is us, not the patients.
Yeah, definitely. That's some important data to highlight, so I appreciate you touching on that. What would you say might be some future directions for work based on this first Northwestern course?
I think I'm excited about doing future trainings on different topics. One thing that I really would like to do is some mock recruitments with patients who've been in trials, who are minor ethnic minorities, to try and at least demonstrate for people how it can be done and have that first participant give me tips and tricks and, things that they would constructively criticize about my own or recruitment attempts. And I think it's worth kind of showing the person that actually is supposed to be good at this needs improvement, right? And that none of us are perfect, but we're all just kind of trying. So that's my next goal, is to show how I think it should be done. I won't attempt to do it in Spanish. I'm going to use an interpreter for that. I'm somewhat bilingual, but I don't want to cheapen it. So I'm going to definitely use an interpreter like I'm supposed to, and kind of show the process.
Perfect. Well, yeah, looking forward to that potential future work. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we wrapped up today?
I do think this is a good topic to share with others. So I'm just excited about having the opportunity to present
You just heard an exclusive interview with Dr. Adam Murphy on diversity in clinical trials. Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting our website, urologytimes.com, or by following us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X, formerly Twitter, at Urology Times. Thank you for listening.